We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, BronxPinstripes.com proudly brings to you the most exciting Yankees podcast in the world, George's Box.
All the dramatic things I've ever seen. George's Box. Goodness gracious.
Welcome back to George's Box. I'm JJ.
I'm Nick.
And I still think it's a good day to be a Yankee fan. I'll tell you what, we're recording this. It is 93 degrees. It's a good day to be a pool opener. I've been in it twice already today. My hair is currently wet. So, I mean, beat the heat.
Now, you own your pool. I live in an HOA community where I do not own the pool. And I thought it was going to be open today. I went over during lunch and it was locked.
Wait, what does that even mean? How's it closed? Do they need like a lifeguard or something?
Yeah. So they just, if there's no lifeguard, they just lock the gate basically.
There's probably a bunch of people like nobody wants to work. Or
that's
maybe it's when it hits like school being closed, then it's like high school lifeguards.
Maybe. I mean, it was open all weekend, which I'll take, and I don't have to do any maintenance to it or put any money into it, which is cool, I guess, other than the HOA fee that I pay every month. But other than that, you know, I don't have to do anything.
Yeah, I mean, I got to do maintenance, but yeah, I mean, I've been in it twice. It was like, oh, call ends. You know, the worst thing that people say in this like post-COVID world of like, well, we'll give you some time back because it's all Zooms. But like now, like I'll take that time because I keep a bathing suit by the back door and I'm out there.
Me and Jamie, like we were always like, well, we would never want to be responsible for a pool. And then we moved into an apartment complex that had an indoor pool, and we're like, oh, this is cool. And now we live in an HOA community with an outdoor pool, and now after these two pools, like I don't know if I could ever go back, like if we move again, if I could go back to not having one.
No, it's like it's impossible to do, to like have a pool and then go to no pool access. Like, I mean, it's great, like on days that I don't really want to work out, like I'll just go tread water for 20-30 minutes and that's a workout,
and it's way more fun. Way more fun than actually working out. So over the weekend, were you like projector outside with the pool? Did you like have it on your phone? Cause I know you were lounging a lot outside. What did you do about the games?
So on Saturday, we had like my in-laws over. So I'm following updates.
Gotcha. Okay.
Otherwise, like, yeah, I'll throw on the, what I'll do a lot of times is I try to be around for like the beginning of a game. And if it's getting out of hand one way or another, I don't need to bring that with me to the pool. But if it's like a close one, maybe I'll like, I will throw on the radio feed if I need to. I don't like to have to do that because who knows if it's a home run or if it's a ground out to second with John Sterling making a call.
He got me on Sunday. I think it was Matt Carpenter where he thought it was going to be fair, and I guess it ended up being a foul ball, and it would have tied the game. He totally got me. I was lounging a bit Sunday, but the end of that series, man, really, really frustrated me. It's one of those classic things. It's like going into the series, you're like, I'll sign up for a split, shorthanded in the chop. Then you win the first two, and you have Cole and Severino going back-to-back. To me, you have to win that series. You have to take 3 out of 4. I was pretty disappointed walking out of there with a split. I know that's kind of divided, though.
Yeah, I mean, no, I totally agree because we had said last week, let's let's sweep the Orioles, and then went out and lost the first one. But hey, we won the series, so that's, you know, that's good. You take a series win, and we would have settled for the split because, like you said, we're short guys. It's early in the season. Let's just kind of, you know, we're not in a prevent defense yet in terms of the standings, but let's eat up some clock on the calendar. So it's, you know, it's an in-between. But yeah, once you get the first two, it's like, you know, we could be up six games instead of five if we just held on to one more.
It's frustrating. And to be honest, the how good the starting pitching has been, it's kind of overshadowed how shitty the bullpen's been recently. You might not believe this. The bullpen has a 6.67 ERA since May 18th. I know that's only like 2 weeks, but that is scary. And I think they had a 2.47 from opening day to May 18th. It's like a flip has been switched and the bullpen just sucks now.
Well, I think it goes back to what I talked about early in the season. There were a lot of games that every pitch mattered, and that'll weigh on you. And then you get, you know, I think it can kind of unravel fast when the guy who's supposed to be the anchor is Chapman, and he starts to unravel. You know, it's not that different than, you know, if you're playing flip cup, best of seven, your anchor just can't get it done a couple times. Then other people are like, well, I got to cover for this later. I got to make up time. You throw everyone off.
Definition of a chain reaction.
Yeah.
And then Green is supposed to be the veteran stalwart, the, you know, the reliable guy, the guy that's in there all the time. And now he's gone. He was such a calming presence. And, you know, they talk about, I guess, quality starts is six innings, three runs. To me, a money start is six innings, two runs. Like if your pitcher goes six innings and lets up two runs or less, you should win that game every time.
Easy. Yes.
And we got four of those in a row in Tampa and only won two of them. Like, that's why it's tough.
Yeah. I mean, we, yeah, I mean, we've blown some like opportunities, and you know, we did play, what was it, 23 games in 22 days. So there were some other starts. I mean, last week we talked about, you know, the White Sox series getting seven inning starts out of guys, not giving up any earned runs, giving up one earned run, whatever, and losing the game. So, you know, we're not playing our best baseball. We're staying in first place, and it's, I mean, it's a long season. And you don't want to, in the middle of May, well, now the end of May, be saying like, well, once we get a couple guys back, that changes it. But that, you know, we know where we are. We know that we need some arms back in the bullpen. We know we need Stanton back. We know that we need to get Hicks going. You know,
or going out of here, going to the moon.
Yeah.
You know, one or the other.
Some of this, the trade rumors and stuff are hilarious. Like, we're packaging up Hicks and like two other guys, and we're gonna get Bryce Harper, year three of his contract, at a discount.
It's like for years how it was like anytime a good player became available, it was like, oh, we'll just give him Andujar and Clint Frazier. Like, that was everybody's mock trade proposal. And that's why I never do those, because I know I'm too stupid and not smart enough to actually come up with trades that will actually happen. That is such a time waste. People that do that, these hypothetical trades, man.
Well, I think there are some people who come up with like real hypothetical trades. Like, I think when I talked about trading Judge to the Padres 2 years ago, and it was like, oh, well, we can get pitching and here's a shortstop prospect and all the things that we're going to need. Not necessarily exactly, but like that seemed like a possible one where there's value on both sides versus the Phillies have lost a couple games. So, year three in a 13-year contract, instead of firing Joe Girardi, they'll trade Bryce Harper.
And, you know, he can't even play the field right now.
Yeah.
So, that's not happening. It's weird on a team with, like, we have so many big-name outfielders. Stan, Judge, Gallo. I know he's not good, but he's a name. But outfield is a need. I mean, they need a center fielder. Playing Judge in center field on the turf every night is just not sustainable, man.
No, I mean, we have, like, at times we have like an embarrassment of riches, and at the same time we'll be absolutely broke in terms of like what we have, you know, in either on the roster or like in our organization as a whole. Like, we've had a billion starting pitchers and none of them have worked.
No, and I think, you know, Cashman probably went into the season thinking, all right, between Gallo and Hicks, one of them will be decent. Like, it's, you know, 50-50 shot. And it's just been a hard.
So Gallo. So he thought Gallo would be decent because nobody thought Hicks was going to be good.
That's true. That's true.
Like, Gallo's, I think a couple people heard him on R2C2 and were like, I don't know. He said, like, bring a little fuck you. So he's probably going to be 30-30.
He's got a 758 OPS from the right side, which is actually above average, but he has a 501 OPS on the left side. I'm telling you, just bag switch hitting and give it a shot. You can't be any worse, dude. Cannot be any worse.
I mean, you're going to get no argument from me. Like, yeah, let's – I mean, something has to change. You can't just have this guy out here batting 200.
With no power.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't seen him hit a ball to the warning track even in the – like, the power has completely disappeared, which you probably remember Teixeira. He fucked up his wrist. I think it was, like, 2013, and it took him, like, 2 years to get his power back. Like, those wrist injuries really saps, I guess, what little power he had. I mean, yeah, you're getting a combined nothing from him and Gallo. You have to think they're going to target some sort of outfielder. And who knows with Stanton, with this latest foot injury, like, are they even going to play him in the outfield when he gets back? That's a giant question mark to me.
Yeah, so, I mean – is it foot? I thought it was calf.
So it, no, it was this is and they snuck this in. So it turned out no problem with the calf. MRI was clean. They called it ankle soreness. So I don't even know, ankle swelling maybe. I don't even know.
Either way, down there from the knee down, that's this is a 2022 all year problem.
Probably.
Like he's not going to come back. I saw someone on Reddit say like he'll be activated on Wednesday or whatever or Thursday, whenever he's
they are speculating available. That he's only going to take the 10 days. I just don't see
and that
it.
That would be great. We're going to get then 10 days, probably him back as a DH. But if you're going to bring him back in 10 days, he's got to be able to play the field in 12. You know, like otherwise don't bring – otherwise hold him out 15 days and bring him back when he can do that. If
because
he's
it's
be
so
able
key
to.
For him. And with Stan, I don't want to waste bullets. I know he's not a pitcher, but I don't want to waste at bats or any wear and tear in minor league – rehab assignments. Like, let him just find his timing here. To me, that's a complete waste.
Yeah. Yeah. You've always been, when it comes to the stars, if it's not a lengthy, you know, if it's just a 10 days and come back and play.
Yeah. I mean, they have their timing. This guy's been playing baseball his whole life. He can get his timing back up here. And again, it's just wasted bullets. I think it was 2019 when he got hit in the knee in a rehab game and he missed like an extra month because those pitchers are more wild. You're more likely to get hit down there by a pitch. So yeah, to me, especially on a 10-day little, you know, hiatus like this, it doesn't make sense. But yeah, I'm interested to see because he is so much better at the plate when they let him play the field twice a week to see how conservative and how cautious they're going to be with him in the field. I'm sure they don't even know yet.
No, I mean, I hope they have some kind of plan, but we haven't seen a lot of plans out of these guys over time. But hey, this year it's been, you know, a little different.
Yeah, no, and he's been good in the field too, defensively. Two guys that have been a little down recently, DJ and Rizzo. I think they're slumping slash injury with DJ. It pushes Gallo and Hicks into the spotlight a little more, and we start ragging on them. But DJ and Rizzo, to me, they really have to pick it up.
Yeah, I mean Rizzo, he had a home run the other day, and yeah. I remember just trying to like convince myself like, oh shit, like this is it. He's going to heat up because he had that. I don't know enough about Anthony Rizzo as a player, like, you know, I haven't watched him for years where like if Gary went on the IL, we knew when he came back, he's going to hit 5 home runs in the next 8 games. And then it probably do nothing after that, but he's going to at least do that. Rizzo was so hot at the beginning of the year that now that it's like slumped, it's, you know, the defense is still great. He's, you know, he's gotten some hits for us, but we're not seeing that same power. Like, does that come back? I don't know. I don't know enough about him.
It's been the same thing like with the bullpen, like incredible first 5-6 weeks of the season. And then he's basically sucked for the past 2-3 weeks. And it's kind of similar kind of thing with DJ. He was hitting 300 earlier and then he had, you know, he had his own little wrist thing and his numbers are way down. I think he's hitting in like the 250. So those two guys to me are the key because I don't want to have to rely on Gallo or Hicks to do anything. And if our top 4 or 5 guys are producing, we don't have to rely on them. But when you have all these guys, and I'll throw IKF in there, I think his OBP is under 300, not doing a whole lot offensively either. So I just one or two of these guys has to pick it up end of the day.
Yeah, I mean, I think in general the difference between previous years and this year so far for this team, it doesn't come down to health for me or anything like that. They're just playing better. Like sometimes, like they've just played better. You look at Gleyber since we talked about Barry. He's just playing better. And I'm sure you could get into it. And I've talked about, like, hey, they're whiffing less at pitches. So you put the ball in the play, letting some of these bad teams make their own mistakes, and that's fine. But, I also believe that, guys still have to continue to find ways to play better.
Oh, they do. And the pitching, that's the other thing about the pitching. It's making up for, and it's masking a lot of these guys not producing. When you're getting 7 innings, 1 run every day for a week, you might not notice that IFK has been slumping hard and some of these guys. Although Gleyber, 9 homers in 42 games this year. He hit 9 homers in 127 games last year. So the power is back, we can say.
I mean, he's hit those 9 home runs, and what you say was 42 games. He's really done it in like 30. Like he, the beginning of the season, he was really lost, and he had one home run for a while.
That walk-off got him going on Mother's Day, I think. He had that walk-off homer,
yeah,
a doubleheader, and that really got him going. So the power's back. He looks better, but then I look at the screen, and he's hitting .229. I can't figure out if he's back or not. It's like really messing with my head.
Yeah, I mean, well, because it's, it's the sum of all the parts is where you're getting the batting average. But – he's looked a little more comfortable in the field. It has been as atrocious, but he's filling a hole because we're not getting a lot of DJ either.
And Donaldson's out.
Yeah, I mean, we've got a lot of guys out. Like Miguel Andujar is getting meaningful playing time, which I think at the beginning of the season, if you told me, I mean, we're in fourth place.
Yeah, no, you think it's a disaster. He's looked really good in left, though, I got to say. I think the metrics kind of back that up, that he's been about average in the field, which for him is incredible. I think.
Defensively, especially on the defensive side, like that's all we're looking for is average. Not everybody's going to be a gold glover. Not everybody's going to be an all-star. He has a plus bat if he could just be an average player in the field, because then there's also the, like, I talk a lot about it, but like the mental side of it that, well, if he – can just stay, if he's not embarrassing himself in the field, he won't be distracted at the plate.
No, and to me, he's a guy, like, you can't just play him twice a week. Like, he's a guy that clearly needs to be in a rhythm and needs to play every day in order to hit. And when guys are out, that's fine. I don't think he's ever going to be able to be, like, some sort of utility guy that can just play one or two games a week and produce. I feel like he's either got to play 6 days a week or he's got to be in AAA. There doesn't seem to be a big in-between with him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the piece is, and we're still far from the trade deadline. But if Gallo were to come back and produce like kind of at all, I mean, well, there's nothing. We're not going to get rid of Gallo because he also has no trade value because he's in a walk year.
We gave up a lot for him. That's the other thing that nobody really – like, we gave up some decent prospects.
One of the prospects just got called up for him.
Yeah. Oh, on the Rangers?
Yeah.
And another guy is like in their rotation, been a rotation stalwart for the Rangers all year. And remember, they gave up more prospects because we didn't want to go over the luxury tax.
Yeah.
So we basically paid that money.
Albert Abreu got released too.
I liked him a little bit.
He got released by them for this other guy to get called up. Yeah. I mean, I just think like if he can come back and just at least show that he's healthy. What's happened with Andujar is like he may have some trade value. Because like Andujar is not going to be our left fielder next year.
No. I don't think he has much of a long term.
I don't think there's a market for Hicks.
No way.
I think Hicks is – I mean Hicks is probably our left fielder next year.
You got to cut him.
At least going into camp. I don't think they're going to cut him with 3 years left, 4 years left.
I'm calling the Phillies. I'm calling Dave Dombrowski, and I'm saying, give me a single A lottery ticket pitcher prospect, and you can have Aaron Hicks. They like don't have a center fielder on their roster. Reunite him with Joe and Didi and whoever the fuck else they still have.
The rest of Nick Nelson.
Yeah. Did you? I think you tweeted this. He had a blown save the other night.
Just and like, fucking just seeing Phillies fans just be like, who puts Nick Nelson in here? I'm like, welcome to the fucking experience, guys. Welcome to the experience. And then like. My father-in-law follows the Phillies. My brother-in-law, a little bit. My other brother-in-law, a fair amount. And so people were over here, and he was like, man, the Phillies the other night. And I was like, yeah, because you just got doughy-faced blondes in your bullpen. That's what's going to happen.
They were talking too about like how they saw his face like when he came in and they knew right there that he wasn't going to be able to handle the moment. And it was just the most relatable thing ever, because that's how I felt every time he took the mound for us.
Yeah. So what I'm saying with Ann Duhar is like, you know, I don't know what our bullpen looks like. And I'm telling you right now, I don't know what his stats are for the season. But like, I don't know. If the Cubs are looking to get rid of David Robertson and we need – he already knows directions to the stadium, number one qualification.
Yep.
You know, like that's something where you could see like, hey, they'll get a couple years out of him. We can get a guy on an expiring contract that will like provide value going into a playoff hunt. I think there it might be something like that. I just picked that name, but you know, it could be someone else who I'm not thinking of yet.
And he's – but again, Ann Duhar, he's 26, 27. He's got some years of control. He's got some upside. He's got pop. Like that's a guy that teams would actually maybe want, as opposed to some of these proposals that we throw out there that clearly aren't happening. Like you'd see those proposals when he was like injured out for the year. But now he actually has some values.
Plus, if you trade him to like the Cubs, then he's back with Clint. Then you package those two up and you get Mike Trout. Now Mike Trout's a Cub. Simple.
Very simple. We're going to see him tonight.
Yeah.
And Ohtani, you excited to see those guys? Do you get excited seeing stars on other teams like when we play them?
Yeah. Like I used to get excited like when Barry Bonds came to town.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
It's like, you know, you're going to see a freak show. Mike Trout is a guy I get excited about. Ohtani, if he's going to pitch and hit, because it's just so rare now. Do we see Ohtani in this series?
I think he pitches Thursday against Tyone, I believe.
Okay.
Thursday night.
So like that's something, you know, I like to see. There aren't many guys who like do it. Like I've said for a long time that like A-Rod was the last superstar in baseball. Like there used to be fucking Frank Thomas was coming to town, you know, guys like that. Now I'm older, so it was like these guys were huge when I was a kid, but there were always these guys who were in the race to like maybe break the home run record. Griffey, Bonds, Frank Thomas. So when those guys were coming to town, you hope you win all the games, but like, I don't know, maybe he goes upper deck one time just so you see it.
Yeah, no, and I remember doing that with the Phillies too growing up, just because I live closer to there and like, oh, the Cardinals are coming, I want to see Pujols, or the Mariners are coming,
exactly,
I want to see Ichiro. But I think when you get older, it's just less, there's less of that than when you're a kid.
Yeah, like I'm less impressed by them. But yeah, like when Pujols came to town, especially as like now, you know, you'll see every player every other year, but you know, when it was like the rare, like, oh, we're playing the NL Central and they're happened to come here. Like, that's cool. You know, I'm going to see Pujols this year. Or, you know, just random too. Oh, the Brewers are coming to town, I'm going to see Prince Fielder. You know, just someone you don't regularly get to see who's not fucking David Ortiz, who might hit some home runs.
I hated seeing him. And I think we face – I think tonight is Syndergaard. So there's a lot of interesting storylines, I think, in this series.
One of the most – fun for me has been that Tyler Wade is a Yankee, right? And they have was a Yankee, is now an Angel. And the year that he went there, I kind of was just like, how long is this guy even going to last on the roster? He's still there because he went up and down for us a lot, but I think he's just, you know, been on the roster. But then they also have Taylor Ward. So it's like the year they get Tyler Wade. So every once in a while, I'll see something on like the ticker or something on Twitter real quick of like Taylor Ward home run. And I'm just like, Tyler Wade? No. Oh, okay. Other guy. I'm like, no way.
It is, and dude, Velasquez is, I think he's not number one in total war, but he's number one in defensive war, and he's having a pretty solid year for them. He's the starting shortstop. Yeah. And it's like, man, we were looking for a defensive shortstop with IKF. We had this guy. Had this guy right here, and you know he's having a great year out there in Anaheim.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he would have been great for us, you know, if we kept him. But I'm still happy with the IKF move.
You're an IKF guy. I feel like you're a big fan of his.
I think he checks a lot of the boxes. Because I'm a person who understands that you can't have an all-star at every position. It's just not possible right now. And you can't have a $300 million contract at every position. Not a lot of people understand that.
And there's only 40 man roster spots too.
There are only 40 roster spots. You can only have 26. Like I've said, I tweeted earlier this year, like, and now, you know, people are still, as there's been like injuries, like, oh, do they call Gardner? And like, what, on fucking June 1st? like, what are you talking about here? And it's just like, Yankee fans will only be happy if they expand the roster so that they can have the 26 guys they like and then 26 guys who can play.
It is weird that, like, we're still seeing the Gardner articles. Like, I thought that would end at around opening day. And, yeah, like you said, tomorrow's going to be June, and we're still seeing, though. Could the Yankees call him up?
Like, there were people when it came out that he turned down a $6 million contract with Toronto. I saw people tweeting, like, can you believe the Yankees, you know, didn't pick him up with other teams offering that? And I'm just like, can you believe this dumb fuck said no to $6 million?
He probably just didn't want to. I can't see him spending a day in Canada. Can you?
Yeah, dude, he's white. He's kind of a hick. Canada would probably be perfect for
him. You think super Southern. Isn't Canada pretty liberal? I just can't see him up there, man. I really can't see it.
Yeah, but I mean, like, the politics of a place are tough to even factor in when you're talking about a sport that is so diverse. I mean, there's a fair amount of racism in baseball, you know, as we know, but –
That's true. I guess I just hear a lot about, like, oh, the Blue Jays are going to have to offer more because this free agent doesn't want to move and live in Canada. Like, I just think it's kind of a deterrent for a lot
I say guys. All the time when I see – and I get it because, you know, some people start in really bad situations. But when it's just like, can you imagine growing up in the Dominican Republic and being like, I just want to make it to the major leagues. And it's like, I'm not even in America. I'm in a different country.
It's got to be a little bit of a – it's got to be a little bit of a letdown. I think, yeah, we go to – so we go to Toronto next – in mid-June. Dude, this schedule, I know we've been talking about it. So we got three with the Angels, three with the Tigers. And then after that, it's Twins, Cubs, Rays, Jays, Rays, Astros. So that basically we have 13 games in a row that are just Rays, Blue Jays, and Astros.
And the Angels are like sneaky decent this year.
Yeah, I mean,
they're above 500. But, you know, you try to – if you can get two out of three here, sweep Toronto, that'll make you feel nice.
That'd be awesome. And we are going – we're going Saturday on the 11th against the Cubs. I'm going Friday. It's Judge Bobblehead night. How much do you think I could sell if I get my hands on one and some dad, you know, missed out on one, is there with his kid? Probably how much do you think I could get for one?
It depends, like, how you want to look. You could get an easy $20. You know, like, no, I think no questions asked, $20. You can maybe get a no questions asked, $50.
See, I think I'm willing to trade it for, like, whatever a tall boy costs. Like, I'd rather have an extra free beer than a bobble.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think – because are you going to go – who are you going with?
Who am I going with? Oh, kid I went to – kid in my pledge class that I went to college with. I'm meeting him there.
All right. So there's two of you. I think you get two beers. Like, if it was Jamie, you know, it would be two. Like, if there's two of you.
Yeah.
You get whatever the value of, like, two beers.
Because I'm going to get in there to get one, but I don't have any interest in, like, carrying it around and bringing it home. So that's why I'm thinking, go grab it and then sell it to somebody who's going to give me $20.
Dude, you could straight – like, someone may approach you. Do you know where you're sitting?
233, 234, something like that.
So it's that down the left field line?
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, you just wait till, like, fourth, fifth inning. Beer guy's coming through. Beer here, ice cold beer. And you pop up and go, someone buys me two beers, they can have this.
Oh, yeah.
Done. You're not even exchanging money.
Right.
Some dad will pop up or someone who'll think they can resell it. Because there's also the, like, you know, time commitment that you have to factor in. And part of that time commitment is carrying that thing around that
right.
You're not willing to do. But someone who's like, yeah, I'm willing to carry this around and then, if you know, whatever, I'll sell this on eBay. Or give it to my kid, whatever the case may be. Just boom. Anyone buys me two beers, this is yours. Someone will do it.
That's my plan. That's exactly my plan. Because I do think there are enough people there, especially because he's the most popular player. Like,
yeah.
I don't think this would work for, like, DJ Bobblehead Night or whatever. But
no.
I think for Judge Bobblehead Night, I think I got a shot here.
I think saying when you don't have to negotiate a price and you just say two beers, that's easy.
Completely cashless. No, completely cashless.
No doubter. Like, if I heard someone do that, I may fucking take them up on it, get the bobblehead, and then an inning later, three beers gets this. I'll resell it right in front of you.
And it's only the first 18,000, so that's a little bit less than half of the total seat. So you would think there's gonna be some demand for it.
I think there'll be a little extra in the audience because it's after Memorial Day weekend. So, you know, people had big plans last weekend. Hey, this is, you know, a different thing to do if, you know, you only had a beach house or whatever. And it's a Friday night. Yeah. I think you get two beers. I think if you're going to do this, if you can think about it in advance, like you see the beer guy coming, if you could get your buddy to just like start videoing, you do that. I think that's what people want to see.
No, I can ask him. Yeah, no, excited for that. And then, yeah, Cubs next weekend. You got your hotel?
Yep. I'm booked.
That'll be a good one. And, dude, we got the – at Twins, that's a sneaky – I'm looking at that right after the Tigers. That's a sneaky tough series now that they have Correa now. We're going to see our old friends.
Is Correa healthy? Gio. I mean, they're a first-place team.
He just tested positive for COVID, but I would think by the time, you know, a week and a half, he'll be playing again.
Yeah, I mean, there'll be storylines around, like – listen, here's the – if Gary gets fucking two hits, it'll be like the Gary revenge game. Yeah, I mean, they're a first-place team. So, you know, they're 10 games above 500. They're – you know, we only have three more wins than them. So that should be a good series, you know. And then, you know, having the Cubs come to town is fun. So here's the thing. We're going on the 11th, and they're – and it is – and I'm not going to be inside before the first pitch, obviously – because I'm going to Boozy Brunch at like 1:30. I'm gonna be fucking wrecked. First 5,000 guests 14 and younger get a Yankees arm sleeve. I kind of want that. I'm gonna try to buy it off a kid.
It does sound kind of cool.
Like
weren't they giving that out when I was a kid? Like that would have been perfect. They gave out beanie babies and shit that I didn't want.
I feel like they've also, for the things that they give away, they've made the sponsor logo smaller.
Yes.
Like it used to be like, oh, get a Yankee hat, and like half the hat said Hess on it.
Yes, I was always Hess.
Like it was a Hess hat presented by the Yankees.
The gifts have gotten better. They're doing Nestor t-shirt night. I think they're trying to make it more like shit that people would actually want.
Yeah, the Nestor t-shirt night's like taking money right out of like Roto Wear and John Boy's like pockets.
Right. Oh yeah, because they make the Super Mario shirt with him like a lot of them. Him throwing the fireball. He still hasn't, dude. People are still waiting for that other shoe to drop. I don't think it's dropping, man.
I hope it doesn't. You know, but like, listen, hey, maybe we're seeing the beginning of a great career, and he's going to sign a $150 million extension in 3 years when he's eligible. But
and the people like extend Nestor. It's like, no, we're getting him fucking for free right now. Stupid. Do you not understand how economics work? Yeah.
As a judge hits a home run, they're like, give him more money. What? Like, listen, I want Aaron Judge to win the MVP, win the ALCS MVP, win the World Series, win the World Series MVP. And then he could tear his ACL celebrating for all I give a shit. I want him to go get a nice contract, you know. I'd love for him to stay with us for the reasonable amount. But, you know, he's putting up monster numbers. Like, there is no doubt about it. MVP candidate. Hope it happens. But I think we're far off. Like we're extending everyone who gets a base hit.
Do you think it's like a coincidence that he's taking it to another level in a contract year? Like, he doesn't seem like a guy that's, you know, would on paper is super money motivated, but it clearly seems like he's more locked in and more focused in a contract year.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a combination of things. I don't know how much you can, in a game like baseball, be like, I'm locked in, like I'm in the zone. Like, I think in basketball, you could be feeling it, and like you can one-on-one start taking guys down, right? You have a lot more control. The ball's in your hands with what you do.
Yep.
Even in football, like if you're a running back, you can you know, if you're running back, you're seeing holes better, things like that. Wide receiver, you can get open. Baseball, I think baseball is just so hard. You're hitting a round ball with a round bat squarely while the other guy's throwing it with movement that we couldn't even fathom. I think he has probably seen the injuries, seen a lot of the chatter about the injuries, probably really dedicated himself to like being ready and his body and whatever it is. Like, we didn't hear a whole thing about best shape of my life or he changed his diet or da 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 da, but clearly doing something. I think the training staff, you know, has fully taken effect. And I think he has gotten some – I've seen like some videos of him from the offseason where like he was working with like a hitting coach who gets him to like attack the ball more, and it's like different than what other people are doing. So, you know, I think he knew what he was doing. I just don't think it's like you hit a switch and it's there.
Yeah, I don't either. But I also wonder if it being a contract year, is he playing through, you know, a minor calf strain that maybe he, you know, he immediately went out like in 2020, he had all those little minor injuries. Like if it's a contract year, does he not say anything because he knows every game he misses due to injury, they could knock money off. I wonder about that.
Well, I mean, I think he's shown in other years that he'll not say anything sometimes if there's an injury. But yeah, I think so. I think very much so. That is exactly what's going on. Like if there's any little like nag, he's like, fuck it, just put me out there. Because once you get the contract, you know, then who cares what happens to you after that? Not that I think he's trying to, you know, deceive any team or anything, but that's, you know, realistic.
I also think people are getting a little bit of ahead of themselves with the whole, oh, how, you know, how misjudges or whatever. We're still only a quarter of the way through the season. If he blows out a quad in mid-July, you know, the price is going right back down. So I don't think the Yankees have lost this quote-unquote battle yet.
I mean, they're paying him at most $21 million to do what he's doing now. They're winning that battle.
When is that, the arbitration hearing? But it's June,
like,
right?
I thought, yeah, like June or July. He's the last one. He's the very last one in the whole league.
It's going to be tough for the Yankees to go in there with the year that he's having and argue the 17 instead of the 21. Like that's going to be tough for them to win.
This season doesn't matter.
Yeah, I guess technically not, but I'm sure the arbiter knows what kind of year he's having.
Well, there's three arbiters. There's three arbiters. There's one the league picked, one the team picked, or the league. Maybe, yeah, I think the league with, you know, the team okaying it, the Players Association, and then a mutual one that they agreed on. And, I mean, part of being an arbitrator is being able to objectively do that and ignore it, you know? That's why we don't do it. We don't have that skill set.
I could never do it. I think that's going to be contentious one. Like, you remember the Dellen one that got out of control with Randy Levine. Like, Judge clearly has a chip on his shoulder right now and is pissed at Yankee management. I think that could be pretty contentious. I think we'll get a couple of days of news out of that for sure.
They can still buy it out though, right?
They could, yeah.
Like, I think, you know, hey, listen, it gets a week before. Like, fuck it, here's the 21. Like, let's not, you know, hey, we're in first place. Let's not get hung up about this.
You could see that, couldn't you?
Yeah. It's just like, it's a smart thing to do. You're not losing anything. It doesn't impact next year. Just as long as, you know, and I don't think we put ourselves in a position where, yeah, the luxury tax doesn't matter.
No, yeah, we're way over it. We're way over it.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The best way to learn a language? Immersion. Living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way. And that's with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts and help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations, and their tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Here's a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription at babbel.com/bluewire. That's 60% off at babbel.com/bluewire, spelled BABBEL.com/bluewire. Rules and restrictions apply.
One thing happened today that I never thought I would see, and that's Derek Jeter has a Twitter account.
Yeah.
Never thought I'd see it.
And
never
Instagram.
In a million years.
He's on Instagram,
weird,
too.
It's weird that he did it both in one day. It's so Derek. They're like, I'm just going to jump in and do this all the way.
It's not. I don't think Derek Jeter has ever seen the Twitter app or website.
No.
Because the first thing, he put out a video today where he was reading like Yankee fan tweets like throughout the years. Mike Guizala.
Yeah.
I don't know how to pronounce the last name, but Jeter read one of his tweets and said his name right.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Shout out Mike.
So, yeah. So I saw he joined Twitter. George's Box was in the first 100 followers. And then because I got the notification there. And then I was in the first like 300 because I switched accounts right over.
Does he – wait. He doesn't follow us.
No. Just like we followed him.
You got me. I almost jumped out of my seat there.
That'd no.
Be, that'd be cool.
Yeah. So he did that. Then he announced Instagram later. And so I think it makes sense. Like so he's not – he's no longer an owner. Right. He sold his part of the Marlins or was in the process of selling it. He's doing Subway commercials. Right.
Embarrassing.
And so, you know, he used to do what Calvin Klein ads.
Klein, Gillette, Skippy.
Yeah. So if you're an owner, you're not doing ads. But if you're not an owner, you've got to make an income. I mean, he doesn't have to, but like, hey, you might as well. So if you think about it. I don't know. Let's see what is he up to in followers in one day. Let's see. So he waits
800,000
forever. Joins this sleep deprived father of three amazing girls. I didn't know he had three. I thought he only had two.
Me too.
161,000. Right. It's early. He's going to have, especially if he puts out some interesting content and stuff. And there was like a couple of things where he's like, you know. Kind of roasting people a little bit. I have run out of excuses, making fun of himself, whatever the case may be. He retweeted A-Rod, which I found interesting. I love to see it.
A-Rod welcomed him to the app or something, right?
Yeah, welcome to Twitter, Captain, #2.
What did Jeter say to that?
He retweeted it.
Oh, okay.
Derek Jeter is not sending any of these tweets. Okay, I think we all have to agree on that. But if he gets into some decent content, he's going to get a big following. And so when you think about it, it's like, all right, well, here's the price tag to get me. This is something Kevin Hart, I remember, ran into. When Kevin Hart started getting movies, he'd go do the movie, and I think it was Kevin Hart. I might be wrong. I think it was Kevin Hart. So he'd do a movie, and then, you know, it'd go to come out, and they were like, hey, so can you just tweet this? He's like, that's going to be $1 million. And they're like, what do you mean? And he's like, you paid me to act in a movie. It says I have to go to the media tour and all that stuff. It doesn't say anything about my owned media. You know, just because I have a TV show doesn't mean I have to say, talk about on like my talk show that I was in this movie or whatever. So it only increases his value. Like, he'll have 1 million followers by the end of the week. He could get up to, you know, a few million. And, you know, part of it will depend on the content. And that just adds to his price tag.
I also think it's got to have something to do with the Players Tribune, too. I'm sure there's got to be an end game here more than – like, I think he has a specific project in mind and not just make a little more money. Like, I'm sure we're going to hear in the next couple of months about some new project that he's undertaking. Because he's always, like, starting something new. I feel like since he's retired the publishing company, the Players Tribune, the Marlins thing, it's almost like he's got ADD of, like, projects.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's trying to find that next career.
Yeah.
And, you know, having millions of followers, if you have the self-control to not be in there mixing it up with people every day – there's no doubt. There's no negative to that. And I don't think he's touching a phone.
No, me neither. Do you think he comes back to work for the Yankees in any kind of advisory, consultant, whatever capacity?
So I think, you know, we've talked about it. Like, it seems like he's coming back to the family. They're doing the Hall of Fame day for him. He's, you know, the year, you know, I think he needed at least a year away from the, you know, from the Marlins. I'm really curious what happened. Like, I know Cashman's contract's coming up. The Jeter is not, he shouldn't be like the GM of the Yankees.
No, no.
I don't, but if he's like a special advisor, he's working with Cashman, you know, you bring him into the fold, but I think the thing is that he wants ownership. Would Hal ever say, you had 1% of the Marlins, I'll give you 1% of the Yankees, lifetime contract, you're, you know, you're always here. And then now you've got Jeter in the mix helping recruit players, free agents.
That's where I think he'd be valuable, recruiting.
Yeah. I think he can evaluate guys, like, on top of recruiting also, he can look at how guys play. And, you know, look at some of those, the smaller things of how's a guy get out of the box? What's the, you know, the hustle, like Ron Washington story of the Yankees are down by like 10 against the A's and he's still the fastest person out of the box. You know, things like that. And, you know, he can go out to dinner with a guy and probably come away with like, this guy can do New York or can't do New York.
That would be big. I didn't even think of that. The whole New York thing, because nobody knows it and gets it better than him.
Yeah. And I think, you know, hey, being on Twitter helps you know the like new world of doing it.
And at the point of time that we're in, let's say a free, like I'm 29, a free agent that hits the market and is 29 that we want, if they're my age, they probably grew up, not maybe not idolizing if they weren't a Yankee fan, but like he was probably one of
the guys. He was the face of baseball. He was the face of the sport for a long time.
It's perfect timing for recruiting.
Yes. Yeah. Cause he's not like old man yelling at the clouds now, like some of these guys. Yeah, I think, you know, but it have to make sense for him. I don't see him, you know, like in Miami, I think he was going to the office every day. To get him to come back to New York and go to the office every day, I don't know what that's going to look like. But I hope they do bring him in some kind of official, like, hey, let's have a W-4 between the two of us. You know, you're getting paid.
And for a guy, Hal, who's gotten a lot of wrath from fans for being cheap or whatever, it is a free PR hit. Like, even, you know, he might not want to give him that 1%, but it is a free PR bump to bring Jeter. And everybody will love it. Nobody's going to complain about it.
Yeah, and
you
even if
– keep that in his back pocket.
Like, you know, it's not like, hey, you come in and we're going to pay you $500,000 a year and the 1%, you know, you get 1% of the company. It could be like a thing that like vests over time. Like, hey, you got it. You were out of the Marlins like pretty quick. I think that goes, you know, on both sides. You know, maybe he didn't handle himself as perfectly as they want. They didn't spend the way he wanted. I'm sure there's blame both ways. So like, yeah, you know, make it like a 5-year vesting, like a regular, you know, job.
They also have Old Timers Day coming up. I doubt he's going to,
I don't think he ever wears pinstripes again.
You don't think he play?
I don't think he ever
would. I think maybe in like 10 years they could get him.
I don't think Derek Jeter ever puts on a full Yankees uniform again, because Derek Jeter can not go out there and be Derek Jeter right now. He's physically not able to do that, and I don't think he wants anybody to see him not being able to do that.
That's what they said about Joe DiMaggio, like why he retired at 35, 36, because he's like, if people can't see me at my best, I don't want them to see me at all, basically.
Yeah, and it's just like, all right, you know, hey, he's staying in shape, he's playing golf or whatever, but I don't know. And maybe I have Jeter all wrong, but he strikes me as a guy who, like, I don't know if there's a, you know, someone hits a ground ball that he can't get to in Old Timers Day that doesn't really matter, then it's like, oh, well, look, just like the old days, can't get to the ball.
And it clearly bothers him, those jokes. I mean, they bother me. How could they not bother
him? Yeah, he has nothing to gain by playing in Old Timers Day, whereas, like, you know, Johnny Damon thought he was playing for a contract. Matsui, like, I could forget about Matsui tomorrow, but hey, comes in, hits a home run. Nick Swisher needs to hit a home run. Tino, let's hit a home run, you know?
I remember we talked about how going to Derek Jeter Hall of Fame Day is one of those things that sounds awesome but would actually suck. And I don't know if this is a hot take. I throw Old Timers Day right in there. I remember the first time I went, I was so excited. Like, oh, going to see Yogi, going to see Reggie Jackson. They play – it's always on a Sunday where it's 100 degrees.
Yep.
You're sweating balls. They play the first game. I think the Old Timers game starts at 11. So, I don't know. You get there at like 10:30. And then the real game starts at 2. So, you end up baking in the sun for, I don't know, 7 or 8 hours. And the Old Timers game itself is fucking boring. Like, it is not fun.
Yeah, you can't re-enter. You're spending a shit ton of money. There's this lull in between. it's just, yeah. I always liked, for me, is I liked when Paul O'Neill was mic'd up in the outfield. Like, that was always fun. You know, I even said, I tweeted a couple weeks ago, Maben and Beltran, like, were giving Michael Kay a hard time. And, like, that's a sign things are getting better in the booth. Because that's how Cone and O'Neill started, too. But, yeah, he'd be out there, like, playing in the game, mic'd up. Cone would be mic'd up. I want to see that at home.
I do, too. They are marketing the shit out of that book. Paul O'Neill's book. It's all anybody ever talks about. I don't know if you saw this. He was going to go on The Fan, the radio station, to promote it. Did you see this?
And yeah, he was on the Zoom.
But he said before the interview, it was with Tiki and Tierney, and he said, I'm not answering any Josh Donaldson questions. It was like the day after the whole incident with Tim Anderson, and then The Fan, like, canceled his interview, Tierney, like, as he was on hold.
Tierney, like, yeah, he was on the Zoom. They got, like, a note on the – you know, on the computers there, they can get you notes from. And I guess, like, his PR were like, hey, by the way, he's not going to talk about this. And Tierney was like, hey, he's on the Zoom. I can see him. Like, I'm looking at him. If he's not going to talk about, like, the biggest thing going on, then we're not going to have him on. And, you know, I think there was a little back and forth on the computer of, like, trying to get them. And he was just like, we're just not going to do it. And, you know, I get it. Like, oh, maybe it's been talked about too much. It's a sensitive subject. O'Neill is a big Trump guy. He's unvaccinated. So, like, everyone assumes that he probably has, like, a racist or whatever.
Florida
that
guy.
I don't think is necessarily the case. I think, like, he may have just, like, not wanted to talk about it. But I also think, like, if, like, hey, here's the thing we want to talk about. You want to promote your book on our show. This is what we're going to want to talk about. You want to talk about it? You throw that at us the last second. Fine. We're just, you know, we're not doing it.
And with his announcing right now, the whole vaccinate, I don't follow this as closely as you do, but does he can go on site at any stadium that's not Yankee Stadium, right?
No. Yes. It's yes company policy.
So he can't go. So he's doing it all remote.
He's all remote.
God, that's got to suck.
Yeah. So it's all remote. I don't know. So I guess, like, in theory, so then it comes down to, like, I don't know what happens with Old Timers Day.
Well, he's got his own day, not even Old Timers. He's got retiring his number, yeah.
There was a thing when, before New York lifted the mandate, it was he can't go to his own day, or when he does it, the players can't be on the field. The players have to be inside. So I think there's still, like, some, you know, funny business. You know, hopefully more gets figured out. I think I don't know where the numbers are now. I keep running into a lot of people who are getting COVID, but it's all, like, very, hey, I'm vaccinated. I'm just sick for a couple days.
Yeah. And it's funny you mentioned that. So usually when I go to games, it's, you know, train to Penn Station and then the subway, the 4 or the D or whatever to the stadium. I think with COVID, I think I'm going to Uber from Penn Station to the Bronx. So how long do you think that'll take me at?
Penn Station to the Bronx?
Penn Station to Yankee Stadium. It says it's 11 miles and, like, 29 minutes, you know, with no traffic. So what do you think, an hour?
On a Friday?
Yeah, like, this is, like, the worst time to do it, I know.
I'm going to be honest. Like, that's just – it's a bad idea. Just get on the D. It's right there at Penn Station. You got a mask with you, right?
Yeah, I can bring one.
You bring a mask. You bring a paper mask. You throw it on so you feel better. You'll be drunk on the way back. You won't think about it.
That's true, the second part.
I mean, do you think, like – the odds, it's a similar risk,
like,
getting in a cab.
I just feel like it's stupid because it's literally, I mean, that is like if you're trying to get COVID, you go into the New York subway. Like, it just seems like you're pushing it a little.
Maybe. But it's a summer Friday. There's not as much going on the trains. There's more traffic out of towners.
So you think it'll take more than an hour to get from
Penn Station? I mean, if you walk out of Penn Station, now you're on, what, 8th Avenue. Maybe they could go up the West Side Highway. And then, like, they're looping around the tip of Manhattan and get you over. But you'll spend – I mean, we've driven the games. You spend a half hour going that last mile.
Right. No, I know. I guess I could get out.
You'll end up – yeah, you're close. Just trying to get to the bridge that you can walk over from Manhattan.
Right. Right. No, but I mean, like, if it's going to take – like, I don't really mind the time. I'm going to have time as long as I get there before first pitch.
But now you're banking on – that you're going to get – so are you going to Uber or cab?
Either one's fine. I mean, whatever.
Cab is always a crapshoot of, like, if there's even air conditioning.
Right. Oh, it's going to be hot.
Yeah, so you'd have to Uber.
Yeah.
At least you get an estimate.
Yeah, so. I'll look at it. And then, but I think leaving, so when you leave the games, you probably see this, like the guys holding up the signs.
Yeah.
Like, who needs a ride? They're not like Uber drivers. They're just independent guys. What do you think they charge to go to
Penn Station? To go to Penn Station? $100, $150 I would do that when I was – I live on the Upper East Side. I'd pay like $75 to take me what was like a $6 Uber. If I was there for a work thing, I'd be like, yeah, here's my card.
Look like a badass.
No, it's just like, hey, I got to get home. Like I'm not waiting around. I'm here on someone else's time. I forgot that Greg Bird is in the minor leagues, is in AAA. Like I just saw the Rail Riders – lineup came up on my Twitter feed and I was like, oh yeah, we have him. We have Derek Dietrich still. I didn't know that.
Oh, the Jack guy that juggles the flames.
I didn't know that.
Greg Bird. And he's behind, I mean he's definitely behind Matt Carpenter on the depth chart, clearly.
Yeah, well Matt Carpenter's in the major leagues.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If you're in AAA, you're behind him.
I'm gonna see pissed if I see Greg Bird's face and wearing major league pinstripes this year.
If Greg Bird is wearing pinstripes this year, I mean it's similar, you know, to us saying like Andujar is getting positive time. Like we're definitely in like fourth place then.
Oh yeah, no, season's over. If Greg Bird is called up at any point, I think the season's over.
Yeah. Unless it's, yeah. Well, we'd have to have a big lead.
Huge lead. I think we have a new dude. I don't think there's a platoon anymore. I think Trevino's a starting catcher. Like I think this platoon thing's kind of over. Higgy, he had that monster spring training. He had like six homers. Everyone was, you know, Higgy's here, and he just didn't do anything since.
I never thought Higgy's, I mean, he had all those home runs in spring training, so we're just having fun. But I never was like, oh, Higgy should be our starter. Like, Higgy is a great backup catcher. Let him play once, twice a week. He'll find you 12 to 15 home runs in a year. He'll find you like 10 to 12 home runs, realistically. And he'll frame some great pitches. But if you put him out there 6 days, yeah, you're going to get – it's not going to be good.
It's crazy how low the bar is for catchers. Like we're just like, all right, can you hit 220? And like none of them can do it. And Higgy hits 140. It's like, God damn.
Can you just do the thing that is the title of the job? Can you just catch the ball is what we're looking for.
Yeah, so. There's no offensive expectations. Do you think they take 2 out of 3 from L.A.?
I'd really like us to. I think we can. You know, I think this is a – when we lost a series against the White Sox. You win against the Orioles. You split against the Rays. If you go out there and you lose another series, yes, you've got Detroit on the other side to hopefully get right. But at the same time, there's definitely concern. You know, you start to worry, like, are people going to start to catch up with us?
Oh yeah, for sure. And especially, I mean, we really had a chance. So we're 5 up on the Rays. They could have easily swept, man. Easily. They could easily be 7 up right now. We'd be like, you know, jumping for joy.
Yeah. Yeah. It would have been fucking sick. And plus, no, we'd be 9 up if we had won those two.
That shows you how good I am at math. What did you think of that punk on the, was it Taylor Walls? Talking all that shit. What'd you think of that?
Yeah, I don't give a shit about that. Like, I saw people on Twitter just look to get fucking mad about shit. And it's like, oh, we're mad about that. Yesterday, people were mad about what David Sampson saying. Who's the that? Easy pitching. The guy from the old Marlins GM that you got mad about when he was like, the Yankees really need to go get an ace. Like, who gives a fuck? Some guy who's bad at running a baseball team said something. Who gives a shit? Good. Our pitching sucks. Tell everyone to scream that from the fucking mountaintops about how bad we are. I don't give a shit. The guys are going to go out there and play.
The same shit over and over.
I don't give a fuck what they say. I don't give a fuck what they say. I care about what the guys wearing the pinstripes go out there and actually do. You can. It's all hearsay. If you want to like rumor about, oh, they need to get pitching. But here's the thing. If anyone ever says the Yankees need to get more pitching, I'm all for that. You can never have enough pitching.
See, I need to get where you are, like emotionally with that. Just be happy with what the team's doing and not what other people are saying.
Yeah, I can't worry about, I can't worry about like what some guy is saying in his home office. The same way no one should get upset about the shit that I'm saying in my home office. The only difference is my stepdad, because I don't have one, never owned a Marlins, so I didn't get to run the team. But like if anybody, think of like anyone you know in your life, if they had a stepdad who owned a baseball team, who would weasel their way into running that team? Me.
Yeah. Now you'd figure out a way.
Yeah, dude. I'm the Lex Luger of the world. You know, I'd a whole career on potential. Is that all we got?
think that's I think we hit everything. I'm excited for Friday night. I'll be in I think it's 233A if anybody's going down or wants to buy a Judge bobblehead off me.
Yeah, dude, if someone wants a Judge bobblehead, you might be able to. If someone's going to go to the stadium and you're committed to being in because you're a first pitch guy, mm-hmm. like someone could just say, yeah, I'll buy you two beers. I'm going to stay at Billy's till the second inning.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And Kirby NYY on Twitter. You could make a deal.
Slide I'm open for business. I'm open for business. Tweet, DM, whatever.
All right. I know you don't like this stuff, but I'm – oh, I did have a quick thing.
Okay.
Jeter.
Yeah.
If Derek Jeter, say a week before Father's Day, said, I'm doing cameos. I'm going to do – they're $1,000 each for me to make a cameo. I think he easily gets 1,000 of those, right?
Yes.
Like easily picks up $1 million.
Wow. Yeah. What? 1,000's a lot.
1,000. He's Derek Jeter. And he's just on if he's like, this is the only time I'm doing this. You get one of that first.
Yeah, I guess you get enough rich people from like Connecticut and Long Island that would probably do it. I guess.
So second question. You and Jamie just got married. You know, you got to balance a budget. We all have to. If she got you a Derek Jeter cameo, what is the price point, the highest price point that you're like, this is fucking cool? And you're not like, what the fuck?
Like anything more than a couple of hundred, I think would be stupid. Like I'd rather her buy me tickets to see the team play. Like,
okay.
Like and I'm kind of the same way, like with like autographs. Like I remember me and my dad were in a card shop once and it was like a Jason Giambi signed ball. And I was like, oh dad, like, can you buy this? He's like, well, I'd rather just buy tickets so we can go see him play in action. Like, and I've always just kind of grown up.
Yeah, no, that makes
with that
sense.
Mindset. I'm not a huge, but like, I know people are into the cameo thing. I think he would do really well. What would your price be for that?
Oh, I don't really care. Yeah. Like if it was going to be like, oh, hey, I could spend $500 at a cameo or $500 to get us 2 6 seats to a game. I'd rather go
right.
to the game.
Right. Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah. I think 1,000's a lot. I think he would get more if he did like 500.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he obviously would. But like then you're also – now you're making 2,000 cameos instead of making the same amount of money and only 1,000.
From his perspective, it's dumb. Isn't Tyler Wade on there for like $15 or
probably
$20 or something?
Yeah. It's like there are certain – there are like online like content creators who do it who it's like, yo, that totally makes sense. Like I totally get that. That's part of the hustle. But there's like, you know, I don't know. You're on a Major League Baseball team. Have some pride.
The reason I discovered Cameo, there was a kid who I went to high school with who just posted it on Facebook, and it was Calvin Johnson, the football player, like wishing him a happy birthday. And me and all my friends were sending it around. It's like, how does this kid know Calvin Johnson? Like, this is the coolest thing ever. Like, man, I didn't realize this kid was that cool. And then it was like – and then we learned how he did it and what Cameo was, and it just kind of – it takes all the fun out of it when you're paying for it.
All right. Do you know – do you watch Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Of course.
All right, so Susie from Curb Your Enthusiasm, $750 to do a cameo. Jeter's getting $1,000 easy.
I would keep going. I would think if Susie's getting $750, I'd $1,250, $1,300.
Now, also for like some of these people who are like, you know, actually like, you know, real celebrities versus, you know, some of the people who maybe we see or guys like the guy from The Office. Brian Bumgardner, who's doing like $225, but like he's not getting other acting gigs. You know, he's fucking Kevin from The Office. But yeah, I think Jeter
I think
could
the
make
Susie
a lot.
One's probably just middle aged men who want to be yelled at. Like,
yeah, or she's got it at that price because she's like, I only want to do like fucking 20 of these a year.
Right, right. It's less work.
You know,
yeah,
you don't want to do.
You
want to
charge the highest and get the most bang for your buck. I didn't even. Think of
Jerome Bettis is $500. Derek Jeter is more than fucking Jerome Bettis.
Mariano's on there, isn't it? I think Mariano's on there.
Let's see. Let me just type in Yankees and see who we get. New York Yankees. Aaron Boone's on here. Oh, you got to get fired tomorrow.
$200. What's Boone charging?
Oh, let's see. I'm just going through who they gave me. Oh, Ivan Nova's on here for $20. Jason Giambi's $95.
See, that's a decent deal.
The thumbs down guy is $25.
No way.
Nancy Newman's only 20. Dave Rigetti, $60. Gary Sheffield, $700. Yeah, Jeter is easy 1,000.
Brian Hoke.
John Flaherty, $40. Aaron Boone's $305. And he responds quick. He's got the lightning bolt next to him. Reggie Jackson, $295. That's too much. Brian Cashman's on here.
I've seen that. My buddy did Brian Cashman for one of his college friends. It doesn't say how much Hoke is. Oh, he's not taking any requests.
Yeah.
Busy guy.
I mean, who knows? Maybe some of these guys do it for like charity.
I doubt most of them are. Wait, Cashman, what did you say Cashman is? 225?
225 for personal use. 2,500 if you want him to like say something about your business. All right.
Not on here.
I think we're good here, right?
Yeah, I think we're good. That's
Clemens fun. Is 500. All right, so I'm just going to do Mariano, 750. All right, so I know you don't like to get into this stuff, so I'll just do it myself. Last week, terrible shooting in Texas. If you don't want to hear politics, I mean, you could turn it off now. I don't think this is a political thing. I'm just urging everybody. I've been doing it myself. My wife has been doing it. If you want to see change, you cannot stop doing this. We cannot. I'm a father, so that's why maybe this hits me more than it used to. We cannot continue to let kids be at risk in schools. The solution is not just having one door, because what if it's on fire? What if they just set up at the door? There is no reason why a everyday person needs to have an automatic rifle. No one needs an AR-15 in their house. No one is coming to break into your house like that. I think there's a very popular idea that Democrats are trying to take everybody's guns and melt them down, and then the criminals can just get you. That is not what is going on. You want a shotgun. You want a handgun. You want a rifle for hunting that makes sense. You should have that. That is the Second Amendment right. Personally, I'm not a gun guy, but I think it's a pretty simple compromise. You have handguns, you have a shotgun, you have home protection things. AR-15s, some of these people who post the pictures are like, hey, I got 40 guns and, you know, I'm ready. The government's not coming to take your fucking guns. They're not coming to take your land. They're not coming to take your house. Instead of just voting for Democrats or just voting for Republicans, reach out to your congresspeople. Research the people who actually are doing the things that you want them to do. Let them know that you want sensible gun laws. You want legal marijuana. Like, these are just things that 80% of us want, 75% of us want, but we're voting 50-50 just to be assholes because we believe that, you know, they want to give everything to billionaires. You know, the other side, Democrats are raping children nonstop. Like, none of that shit's happening. Just common sense gun laws, common sense marijuana laws. Common sense taxation. Maybe people should be able to have homes. That's all it is. So that is my soapbox of just, if we stop talking about it, more kids are going to get shot. More kids are going to go to school and not come home. I don't want it to be my kids. I don't want it to be your kids. I don't want it to be anyone's kids. Maybe Ted Cruz, not his kids. Maybe Ted Cruz, though. He's a real piece of shit. I'm kidding. At Secret Service.
I agree with all that, by the way. I know I don't always get political, but
yeah.
I agree.
I don't want to put, I know you agree with it. I just, you know, so yeah. So just fucking, just do some research. Primaries are going on. It's in Jersey in like 2 weeks, but then general elections don't matter about the letter next to their name, the R, the D, whatever it is. I voted Republican before. I voted Democrat before. I hope you'll do the same. Just do the research into what these people actually stand for, because at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter what they want. They're interviewing for a job to do the things that we tell them to do, and find people who you can hold accountable for that. You can follow Nick on Twitter at NKirbyNYY.
Damn, you had it ready. All right.
Yeah, I was just flowing through it. Follow me at JJ from the Bronx. Follow the show at George's Box Pod. Nick will be there on Friday if you're trying to buy a bobblehead. We'll be there the following Saturday. Stay safe out there. Protect your kids. Love your family. We'll see you at the parade.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.